When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, action-packed show planned for you guys today. We'll talk a little auction and we'll talk a lot of electric truck.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the electric truck world and it's promising.
I like it. I like what's going on there.
I like what's going on as well. First, we'll hit 8Sleep, 8Sleep.com. Research shows how important sleep is on energy, physical performance, overall health. Sleep is fitness, man. If you're tossing and turning, maybe you're too hot or maybe you're too cold, the ideal temperature helps you sleep longer. I have the Pod by 8Sleep, and it is a game changer. It automatically adjusts temperature so you can get the deepest, most comfortable sleep. It is really a big deal. And I've always said it would have changed my life. Maybe it's why I was such a horrible student. I slept on these garages and service porches and up in attics and stuff and houses that didn't have air or anything. And I was just tossing
like above a washing machine or something, or on the washing machine.
I would, in the garage, in July and August in the San Fernando Valley, I would get up at 5 in the morning. I would get out of my garage. I would jump over a 6-foot cinder block fence. I would go into my neighbor's yard. I would dunk myself in the swimming pool, try to get my core temp down, and then come back over the fence and go back to sleep in my garage. Okay. But if I had 8 Sleep, I'd be a happy man right now. 94% of people who sleep on the Pod sleep deeper. That's about 100%. And right now, you get $150 off plus free shipping at 8sleep.com/car. That is 8sleep.com/car, E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/car. It's a game changer. You owe it to yourself, and it's all about sleep hygiene these days.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. ACS and car lovers alike, get ready because February shipment includes a Blu-ray of Adam's newest doc, Shelby American, with special features you can't get anywhere else, and a signature from the Ace Man you can't get anywhere else, a Chemical Guys Clean Car Essentials Kit, featuring butter wax, streak-free window cleaner, 2 odor eliminators, and more. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket for you and a plus one to join us at the Corolla Family Barbecue. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month, nor keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to CarCast, Matt Corolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. Had a thought just jump into my mind. A little bit of homework for the folks. We'll get you caught up on what we're doing, the cars we're driving, stuff we're working on. There was a Senna, Ayrton Senna helmet and a Schumacher helmet, F1 helmets. And they were up on, I want to say RM, maybe Bonham, Gooding, one of the auctions that went off in Europe.
Yeah.
Like a couple of days ago. And we have this Hammer Price app, which is a cool app. It's you just download it, and if you're interested in an auction, it'll just tell you what everything went for. And I was like, oh, I'm going to jump online and find out what those helmets went for. But Hammer Time doesn't do memorabilia.
Yeah, they don't.
Hammer Time.
Hammer Time.
It's Hammer Price.
It's Hammer Price.
Right, but I like to call it Hammer Time.
Yeah.
But it's a cool for those who are interested in keeping up with current prices of cars. You could easily find out what Ford GTs have been trading for by just hitting this app and sort of.
You could follow every auction in real time, and then you can go back and you can do the searches and do the research. It's my favorite app. It's probably my most used app.
Yeah, for me too. You can always get caught up on whatever.
I use it
happened.
As much as Waze.
And the reason it's a great app is, although it's speeding up, when the auction is going off. Sometimes it takes a couple of days for the auction to post stuff. Sometimes they like to cook the books a little. They like to not post stuff that didn't sell or, you know, what.
Yeah, try to do the backdoor deal and then post it a few days later.
This will put it in green if it sold and I think put it in red if it didn't sell. But it's interesting. It was the 5th, I think, is when this auction was.
Yeah, this is Paris, Arms Sotheby's.
Right, and I don't know what the—so the reason I'm asking is because I have some cool Newman helmets, and we've talked about memorabilia and value and stuff like that, and much like the race cars themselves, the fire suits and the helmets and that kind of stuff just didn't really, it was kind of neither here nor there. So like back in the day, you would want to get yourself a vintage Ferrari and or Mercedes-Benz Gullwing or something like that. And then you'd go, what about the old race cars? And it's like, well, unless it was a Ferrari GTO or some real significant Shelby Cobra or something like that. It was like, it's a Toyota. It's a Gurney Celica Turbo Toyota. It's like from 1987 or something. It'd be like, blah. It's not worth, it's not a, who cares? Or it's a Cortina with a bunch of history. But it's a four banger, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or any of those rally cars, Group C, I think, rally cars like from the 80s or something. Like, that's an 80s rally car. It's not worth anything. It's Japanese or something, right?
Yeah.
Lancia, like, blah, who cares? So that stuff never had any value. Now that stuff has a lot of value. A lot of these, I mean, you know, 240Z sold for $315,000,
amazing.
As you know from this show. It wasn't a race car, but the point is all that stuff. The helmets, the fire suits and like the memorabilia a few years ago, people are just like, I don't know, who cares? So what? It's sort of
like, it's fun to collect, you know, if you can get it, but it wasn't really like a, I don't know. It just didn't seem like something you were trading for.
Well, it was like what the race car was to the street car now, or a few years ago, the helmet was to the race car. Now the race cars are more valuable, and I'd have people come in there, you know, a woman who's an absolute expert at this stuff, and she'd look at, like, you know, Paul Newman's racing helmet or something, or Walter Payton's racing suit or something, and she'd be like, $2,500, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it's worth more than that. But they're like, there's no real comps. Everything in them was sort of comp world, and there wasn't any comps.
And she was focusing more on, like, celebrity memorabilia and not racing memorabilia, right?
Right.
Like, would she be able to evaluate a Newman helmet and a Senna helmet? Or would she say, I don't know who Senna is?
Well, the Senna stuff didn't have much to it, and the Schumacher stuff didn't have much to it. But then I was online, and everything was like in euros, but the euros are not that far off the dollar. But it was like estimates $50,000 to $70,000 or $55,000 to $80,000. And I was like, well, that's not, you know,
that's real money now.
Yeah, a few short years ago, those helmets were $7,000, not $70,000. But I don't know what they ever sold for.
So in December, a Senna helmet with a signature that they believe is authentic, so it wasn't even really cleared, it was estimated, this is at RM, it was estimated 50 to 80, and it sold for $102,000.
Wow.
So now, last year, a Schumacher Ferrari Formula One helmet sold for 63,000 euros in Paris. So this year, RM was expected to get another like 80,000 for another Schumacher helmet, but it sold for 24,000 euros.
Wow. And again, the helmets are weird because it's like there's like Ayrton Senna wore this during testing. You know, like
that, I was going to comment on that.
Not in an actual F1 race.
I don't think
stuff
you
like
can.
That.
You can't do like a helmet to helmet, apples to apples comparison. You have to be like, is this a Le Mans helmet? Is this a testing helmet? Like, is this, you know, is this his Willow Springs track helmet or is this his, you know, his Monaco
it's starting,
F1 helmet?
It's a lot like the cars now.
Yeah.
Like an F1 car, just an F1 car. Really doesn't have a ton of value, but if it won the Monaco Grand Prix, now it has a ton of value.
Yeah, so or a champion season helmet, and in Chris's example, the Senna helmet, that one being signed was whatever. However that came to be, he did his season, did his race, whatever, signed it, and then signed it for somebody or some charity or something, and now that's $100,000.
What did the so that was the Schumacher or the sorry that was a Schumacher helmet
the which one
the 24,000
yeah that was the Schumacher one yeah that yeah. was just in Paris
always going to be the last thing you talked about that's my move what is the Senna helmet sell for
the Senna helmet was 102
oh that is
the recent no what was
oh the recent one sorry
there was another one
Jesus
at that auction
Christ.
Yeah no
come on Bucko there's
I'm
two
reading
helmets.
While you guys are talking so
no but I thought you had both of them
I just have that
no he
I
didn't find the
one.
Second
oh all
so
right
that were, auction had a second helmet
they were just
helmet.
Right next to each other in the auction whatever so I thought I don't again they don't really I don't know if they post the results I know the website will post its auction results but I don't know that I guess they do it for memorabilia. They were just right next to each other at the same auction.
If they showed that one sold for $24,000, well, I guess it was a no-reserve helmet because it seemed like if the estimate was whatever, 80, and it went for 24, that's a no-reserve sale.
Well, also, Chris probably found some article, not the website.
Yeah, well, I found one from December of 2019, and that was the $102,000.
All right, let's just try to reset here completely. If you go to the website of the auction and hit results, then everything will come up.
The auction that just happened.
I got one here. This was 162,000 euros.
From
See, I clicked next on the helmet and it brought me back to this. These RM sites are just, they're not really the easiest to navigate.
No. All right. But you go to the results on the RM of the 05 Paris or Euro, whatever, and then you'll see it up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you are driving what?
I just put to bed the Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye, which is a complete animal. You saw it, the wide body. And it's fun. It's insane. And it was fun. And then I this week on the show with Goldberg, I had this discussion. One of the things that gets me heated up is dealer markups, especially on vehicles that don't really need a dealer markup.
Well, but I'm a little agnostic on that subject because I feel like the market kind of will bear whatever the market bears.
Those Jeep Gladiators, that Jeep that I had out here, when that thing came out, the dealers were like, this is going to be hot. We're getting 10,000 over sticker. And Jeep's like, why? We're going to make as many as we need to make. And there's nothing special about it. You can get it. And anybody that paid anything over sticker on it, sales have slumped. And now there's $9,000 incentives. So now you're 9,000 under sticker on it. So,
But also,
can we be smarter about what we're buying with the dealer markup?
Look, my kind of take is if there's some Mexican and he's selling mangoes on the corner, he can say $8,000 and you can go, no, I'm going to the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll figure it out. I remember once the, I guess it'd be a 2000, maybe a 1999 BMW Z8.
Yeah.
That's your kind of your car, right? You like that car?
Yeah, I do like
that. You don't like the rims, but you like the car.
Well, the Alpina rims were not my favorite.
I remember going into a dealership right over here in like Universal City or whatever, and the sticker on that car is probably about $1.50, $1.45, $1.55 or something like that. And they're like, we want $2.50.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is the new 505 or whatever the hell that one is.
Yeah, the V8 or the 10 that had the 10 in it.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's like BMW hadn't built a two-seater convertible with a V8 in it. Yeah, it had a V8 in it. Yeah, they hadn't built anything like that in 50 years, you know? And so this was the 507, I think, is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And so they were like, this is going to be a serious item, you know? And I looked at it and I was like, I'm not going to pay a $100,000 more than sticker. But now, there are many cars that back in the day that you would have been smart to pay $100,000 over a sticker.
Not a Gladiator.
Not a Gladiator, but you know, the latest Ford GT or the first gen Ford GT, you'd be right about even now. Now the Z8, you would have been pretty sorry 5 years later that you paid it, but if you hung on to it, now you're getting up toward...
You're getting closer. If you paid $50,000 over a sticker, you might, but if you paid $100,000.
Right. So basically what I'm saying is that's a little on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. If somebody, it's all on the dealer and buyer relationship. You know,
right.
Those guys are to blame for this.
But do your homework. I mean, what I'm saying is in my world, the dealer's allowed to go, we want $10,000 over on this Gladiator. But you should know that's not a Ferrari and it's not a Ford GT. It's a Jeep.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to go like the Ford GT is going. The McLaren helmet went for 50,000 and 400 euros. That's all in, I guess, with the premium.
No, sold for inclusive of applicable buyer's fee.
Yeah.
This is on the website. So the original Bell prototype helmet, initially worn in testing by Mario Andretti, then repainted by Bell and worn by Senna.
They couldn't have given him a new helmet, huh?
50,000 euros. That's still a lot of money. And it's unclear all the races that Senna wore it in, but I think 50,000 euros is maybe just like 55,000 American or 60,000 American. It's not that much. I think maybe 55. We're pretty close in the Euro department, I think.
It's a little less than 55,000.
Right.
I didn't know that Mario Andretti and Senna had the same size melon.
I don't think they really...
Did they repat it or something?
I don't think they really sweated the details back then. They just went like, here's a helmet. Here's another helmet.
Fits.
Shut up. It was back when people didn't... You know, like all the time I played Pop Warner football and high school football and stuff, nobody had their own helmet or shoulder pads or anything.
Yeah,
it was just all junk they kept in the equipment room.
It's like going to the batting cages and they give you the...
Yeah.
You grab one out of the bucket.
Yeah, you just walk up and they'd look at you and go, all right. You kind of hope that they turned around and pulled something with a cool face mask on it or something.
Something that looked fairly newish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was always like three pretty new helmets and you had to... I never got one of those, of course. Yeah. Electric trucks, where are you at with that?
So there's some news on electric trucks. Everyone's doing electric truck stuff. But also remind me, I want to tell you about the information I got on your Porsche, on your 911S.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of electric trucks, again, we touched on this earlier this week, is I like the idea of electric truck more than I like the idea of electric sports car. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, kind of sedan. I think there's a functionality to the electric trucks. Rivian, Nikola, Hummer, F-150, all these electric trucks that are hitting the market. Because you've seen them when you eliminate the engine and you use electric motors and you have no transmission, you have all this additional storage and like pass through. So when you're going to the Home Depot, you can long pieces of wood or whatever, like... I think there's a functionality to it that I like more than, say, the Tesla Model 3.
I agree with you. How about the instant torque? Well, I mean,
we love that, and right now all these manufacturers are hitting us with press releases and drawings and renderings and going, we're going to have 1,000 horsepower and 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. But not everyone's going to need that. So there's going to be down models of that. There's going to be, yeah, the instant torque, quiet, and all the extra storage and stuff for it, and the torque for towing or maybe off-roading or climbing. But in our world, it's a little bit more about hauling shit and towing stuff. And
well, like and, I was rowing and towing. I put on one of those like sled poles, you know.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm keeping it real, you know. And I was on my rowing machine, and I always just scan around and look for something I can watch with no sound.
Yeah,
that's visually interesting. And having those diesels do the poles,
oh,
you
the
know,
tractor poles,
the tractor poles, yeah. But not the tractor. This was the truck division,
mm-hmm.
And you know they all have the kind of paddle wheels on there, and they're like. All look like Ford F-350s, and they all have the big diesel stack coming out of the hood and everything. And, you know, of course, they were all diesel. And I was just looking at it. They're all turbo diesels. And I was just, like, looking at it going, yeah, everything's turbo diesel. Maybe it's blown diesel, I guess. You don't hear that much about blown diesel. I'm not sure why. No. But anyway. And, of course, the diesel, because it's all torque. Everything's torque. And now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, what if that was electric?
Yeah.
I mean, would you even have more torque if those were all electric trucks?
Do you think that could be the next big motorsports segment? We have Formula E. Now we have the tractor pulls, the truck pulls.
Yeah,
Formula E. It's all quiet.
Formula T. Well, it could be. Now, what a lot of guys like is the black smoke just belching out of the hood. You know, they got that. They just have one huge stovepipe that just always comes right out of the middle of the hood, and it's just,
it's huge.
It's the ugliest American activity ever. Like, you just see what's coming out of that thing. There's no catalytic converter or anything. It's just like,
clouds of smoke. Well, the weight that you pull up the little ramp of the back, you'd have to make that thing cooler, right? Like that has to shoot fireworks or something as it gets higher up.
Something.
So your electric truck is being quiet, and then this thing's shooting flames out.
God, I'd like to sit down with Mark Ruffalo and just watch that. Not dark, pitch black smoke just billowing from that big pipe. You know, when that thing spools up, it's just it's the ugliest of all American activities.
Yeah,
like no filters, no catalytic anything, just right into the atmosphere. Just boom, mainline, right to the heavens.
Do you think Ruffalo even knows it exists? Do you think DiCaprio knows? Has he seen it?
It is weird in that I know of all the things that Mark Ruffalo's into, because I make fun of it. All right, whatever the environmental, whatever version is, or the windmills, or the solar panels, or the, you know, Formula E, or whatever, like, or the Million Woman March, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. like the pink hats, or whatever. Like, I'm aware of all that stuff. I make fun of it, but I'm totally aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know that those guys have any idea of what's going on in the middle of the country with sleds and towing and stuff like that. Like they might be aware that there's something called a tractor pull, but would they know that the way the sled worked?
Right.
That it gets heavier as you get going, so you eventually stop.
Yeah. I don't think they know that. I'm going to say no.
Well, maybe it's best they don't.
You're telling me that DiCaprio at one point in his career never like dropped the flag at a NASCAR race or something? Like, he was never invited to some promotion or something for a movie, and then later he's like, we shouldn't fly on private jets.
I think they probably, there's probably some of that in their history, but I do not know that they would be aware of a tractor pull. I'm also, people are insanely unaware of, like, Le Mans. You know, they're like, how long is that? Or how big's the course? Or what kind of cars run there? Like, they don't really...
Yeah.
Most people I talk to have a lot of difficulty separating a race car from a street car. You know, like you'll go, oh, it's the 935. Paul Newman drove at Le Mans. Bobby Rahal won. Brian Redman, they won 24 Hours of Daytona in that car. And they go, oh, you ever take your kids out in it? And they go, no.
They go, it's a racing car.
There's no seats in it. And they go, but you drive it on the street. You drive it around like on a weekend? And they go, no, it can't be driven on the street. And they're like, but don't you take it out? Like, they don't. What is that? Like, I don't know. Like, people, like, I get it. I like racing. But I also, I know what the Impossible Burger is. I don't eat it, but I'm aware of it. You know, I don't go like, what? It's a plant patty. What do you do? Rub that on your face?
Do you own a racehorse? Do you ride them on the street?
Yeah, it's like they.
It's not really. It's a racehorse.
I don't know. Maybe they're just lazy or something. They don't really.
They got to know what drag racing is. They run those commercials for Pomona all the time.
They'll do a thing, too, where you'll go like, I got a 935 Porsche. Paul Newman ran at Le Mans. They'll go, I had a buddy who had a 914 growing up.
Yeah.
I think it was a 1.8.
Yeah. And he used to run it at Coldwater Canyon.
I go, like, that's all right, but that's not really what we're talking about here at all. But all right, there's something with Porsche, the name Porsche in it in your past that you've connected.
Yeah.
Me too. Right. You know, it's kind of, it kind of reminds me of, like when people used to find out I was a carpenter. I literally remember when I was at K-Rock in the early years and like, one of the women at sales or whatever, she's like, you're a carpenter? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a carpenter. And she's like, oh, I got all this. You like carpentry? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I have a passion for it. And she's like, my tub at home's got all this caulking built up on it. Like, it's all mildew and everything. You want to come by and like take that out? And I'm like, no, I don't. And she's like, why? That's like carpentry stuff. And I'm like, no, it's like weird shit grunt work. Like, no, I'm not into that. I thought you were into this stuff. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm into the 935. No, I'm not into the 914, the bone stock 914 that your neighbor owned.
Yeah.
That's not a very good car.
That's the moldy caulking of Porsche.
Yes, it's the moldy caulking of Porsche. So who's coming out? Who's coming out with an electric truck?
Rivian, who's teamed up with Ford and Amazon, Rivian will be the platform for Lincoln. Lincoln's electric SUVs or cars or whatever, it's going to be based on the Rivian, which we like what they're doing. Their technology is good. Hummer is going to have
They're coming back.
They're coming back. It's going to be a pickup truck. I think it's going to be based off the GMC truck, but we'll see. We will see the vehicle. It'll be unveiled to everybody May 20th, and deliveries will start in 2021.
Who's worse, loaded Hummer guy or loaded G-Wagon guy? Who's the worst individual? I mean, they're both horrible, but who's worse?
Well, there's not an electric G-Wagon that we know of.
I'm talking circa 2007.
Is that when people were tagging and vandalizing Humvees and Hummers on the parking lots of dealers?
Yeah, there was some of that. But I had a guy pull up to my place in a canary yellow one with like triple chrome rims on it. And he was supposed to give me some estimate. And I was just like, I don't like this. I don't want to deal with this guy. I don't like him. I don't like him. He's charging too much. He's pulling up in that brand new Hummer. But who's douchier? Like Hummer, loaded Hummer guy? I'm not talking about Schwarzenegger independent rear Hummer. I'm talking about live rear axle with fake valve stem Hummer.
Yeah.
Guy.
Not military Hummer.
No, versus G-Wagon guy. G-Wagon who's got it wrapped.
Yeah. I just can't get on board with the G-Wagon.
Well, they're both douchebags. One's just in a higher tax bracket, right?
Yeah.
I think I go with the G-Wagon guy because, like, they're both colossal douches, but one of them's going to pay for dinner. You know what I mean? Like when we're hanging around talking about how hot the Kardashians are, he's going to pick up the tab.
Yeah, he's going to talk about it cost him $4,000 to wrap that thing in flat black.
What is the flat?
Yeah.
I don't get what that it's called a shiny new Cadillac or shiny new Mercedes-Benz. It's shiny and new. That's the way I used to think about it.
Yeah. Maybe we're moving away from the flat.
Well, you don't know this because you don't follow it, but many football helmets have gone satin as well.
But is there a metallic under it so it's a satin outer, but it still shines a little light? Because if you think of a silver paint that reflects a lot of light, but with a satin clear coat over it, it gives it sort of a frosted look to it, but can still, because that can be interesting.
It was an interesting thing. They used to be shiny. Mm-hmm. You take like the Minnesota Vikings, they used to be shiny, and then they went to like a satiny, matty, eggshelly kind of finish. And one of the things that's interesting is, I'm going to bring this around to Ferrari. Ferrari, find out how much Fran Tarkington's helmet sold for at RM Sotheby's. And I'm kidding. famous Minnesota Viking quarterback. Ferrari famously has their Scuderia red or whatever, but it's really orange, but it looks red on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So their red on camera is a little bit too dark.
Okay.
And they do an orange and it looks red. Now, I did my movie theater with red chairs, and you take a picture of it and people go, oh, that's a weird orange. Red can turn to orange, and I guess orange can turn to red. But Ferrari figured out, we want our cars to look red on TV, so we're going to paint them this orangey red shade, and that'll make them look proper. The Minnesota Vikings used to have a really shiny helmet, and they had this insignia on the side of the helmet, and it would like ghost when the video was on it. Like you'd see like a trail coming off it or something. Like it was reflecting too much, whatever.
Reflective.
And now the cameras are much better and it's not a problem, but the satin actually probably reads better. It's not bouncing light off it.
Yeah. You know, my guess was going to be some sort of reflection issue.
And yeah, but
I didn't initially think about camera. I thought about playing.
Half the other league, everyone else in the league, or many other people just have their own old shiny helmets, which I happen to like, but I'm old school. So there's going to be a bunch of electric trucks available.
Bunch of electric trucks available, and I'm more interested in them than I think in the electric cars, but that's just me.
What do you think the equivalent torque will be? I mean for towing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're going to be able to go through the roof with torque if they want, right? I mean, the biggest dieseliest Ford F-350 is not going to be able to match whatever torque the electric trucks have if and they want to ramp it up, right?
Yeah, and I don't have the exact information in front of me, but I think Nikola, it's an Arizona-based startup company that's working on a truck, is, you know, they're going after something like 900 horsepower, but they're testing the vehicle to be more of a workhorse vehicle. And they're like, yeah, it's going to tow 13,000, 18,000 pounds. And it's just going to be huge torque.
This is interesting we're looking at pictures. It is the future because the torque, when it comes to the 18-wheelers, small, whatever, towing means torque. Diesel means torque, and all these diesel trucks that are on the road, these big 18-wheelers, you know, that are downshifting and belching plumes and, you know, up the grapevine and everything. If you can get this really unlimited torque of the electric going, that's going to be a huge deal.
I agree in the world of commercial vehicles and fleet vehicles, it's probably going to be the best use initially, or ultimately, maybe in the long term, for electric vehicles. If electric semi-trucks and delivery vehicles and Amazon placed an order for 100,000 electric vehicles from Rivian.
100,000.
100,000. They just like, we just want to, all of our delivery vehicles to start going to electric. It's going to take years to get them, but imagine every UPS truck, FedEx truck, mailman, like imagine all of those going to some sort of clean electric. Granted, you plug them all in to you know, solar panels instead of sucking on the grid and firing off our nuclear power plants.
Well, my dream is build nuclear power plants and then just have them power all this electric stuff. But my also dream was, well, everyone's like freaked out about the self-driving car. If you talk to anybody who studies traffic, it's all just kind of driver error. There mm-hmm. is no reason for traffic. Like when you're on the 405 freeway and you physically come to a stop, I always marvel at that. Like yeah. I'm in the left lane or second to the left lane.
And me on the way here.
And it physically stopped. And I'm like, how can this be? There's no light. There's no cross street. There's no anything. I'm in the left lane. Like we're physically stopped. And then you just realize how pathetically bad everyone is. Like how many times people just sat at a red and not turned right.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
have to honk at them and stuff like that. They just like they don't know what's going on. Or the person that won't pull out into the intersection so only one car can turn left. If that stuff was all just automated, like if that was just, hey, you're turning right on this red because there's no cars coming or it reads to ear. I mean, on Laurel Canyon, when you come back from the Comedy Store, there's a sign and it says no right on red Monday through Friday. And if you come back on a Saturday night, there'll just be some idiot sitting there and you tap on the horn and they're like, hey, man, no right on. And it's like, yeah, during these days, yeah. this isn't those days.
Yeah.
This is Saturday night. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, but the smart car would know.
The smart car would know.
And
well,
it would.
Yeah.
And we could eliminate that. The Nikola Badger, over 900 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2.9. Jesus, a truck. 600 miles of range with hydrogen, I guess, supplemented.
So it's 300 on just an electric version, and then yeah. the hydrogen electric version is 600.
Listen, man, it's the 300 range is fine. It all comes down to this. People do, and I'm going to make this about me. And I don't like to talk about myself, but I'm going to make this about me. Everyone does this thing with the range where they go, well, what if you wanted to take the kids to the Grand Canyon and you didn't have enough range? It's like, okay, when's the last time anyone drove the kids to the Grand Canyon? The answer's fucking never.
Yeah.
Just never.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
Rent a Camry.
I'll tell you what happens a lot. What happens a lot is, it's Thursday night, and we're driving to – we got to be in Palm Desert at 9:30 tomorrow morning, Friday morning, do some speaking thing with James Carville and Dennis Prager and whatever it is. And I come pulling into my garage after going to the Comedy Store or something on Thursday night. It's 10:30 at night. I come pulling in, and I look down, and the range is 71 miles. That's mm-hmm. what I got left in the fucking tank. And I'm like, Mike August is going to be here at 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to go back? We're going to fill up tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are we going to just go halfway to Palm Desert and like pull over and fill up? Now, if I could just plug that fucking shit in and go into the house and it would be full when I came down, you know, when Mike showed up at 6:45 in the morning. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not the overall range. It's that feeling of waking up the next day and going, oh, fuck, I'm going to Palm Desert and I don't have enough to get there.
Yeah.
That's, for me, what it would be about.
Yeah. Convenience has a lot to do with it. But the flip side of that coin is you are driving someplace. Do you stop at the quick charger for a half an hour or – in your gas engine vehicle, do you pop into a gas station and in 3.5 minutes you got a full tank and you're on your way again, right?
The thing about the gas station is the pump is pretty slow, and if you're like me, it drives you nuts because you have to just stand there and it's like ding, ding, ding. And also psychologically out in California where gas is, you know, $4.25 a gallon. I don't like seeing that thing spool. Like,
yeah.
Like it's like the inflation billboards or something. Oh, like you're staring, like you're looking at this thing and you're like, I'm at $61 and we're four and a half gallons in. Like what?
Yeah.
No. And so what I have to do is start making busy work for myself. Like, I'm going to go clean my car.
Yeah, yeah.
And I start running around the car and trying to clean stuff in the car.
And a lot of those pumps, they tap out at $100 and you're not even done yet.
Right.
Like, you're still filling it up, especially the truck.
Also, there's a little I stopped in Hollywood on the way home from the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory or something the other night, because, like, that was the whole thing. It's like, I couldn't get home. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was at my house and I was like, you got 37 miles on your range. And I'm like, shit. And I pulled in at like 5 o'clock. You know, I would have happily just fucking plugged it in and got another 30, 40 miles out of it, yeah. Jumped into it at 9 o'clock at night and been fine. But I knew I wasn't going to make it back. So I drove out, did a set, and I was in Hollywood. And now it was like 11:30, 12 at night when I was like coming home. And it's like, it's a little dicey.
Yeah.
You feel a little vulnerable. The guy works at the gas station. He's in a safe room.
He's in like a panic room.
He's in a panic room with 8 inches of Lexan, ballistic Lexan. You're out on your own.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the shark cage. You're free diving.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
He's got access to food and cigarettes.
That's right.
A phone.
Bottled water.
Yeah.
Vitamin aid.
Yeah. He's got 5 hours of water. Energy.
Yeah. He could last
whatever
there.
Whatever he wants.
He'll make it for months. You're out in the wild.
That's it. Next time you roll up to the Comedy Store and you park in the back, you'll be like, I'll be back in 22 minutes. Maybe go fill up my car.
And also, when the shit goes down out there, you know, that guy ain't fucking even calling 911.
He's not a hero.
All he's doing is getting his camera out and filming you getting stabbed.
That's
so
right.
So he can throw it up on
like
YouTube.
It's hard to see while I was behind the bulletproof glass.
Yeah,
it's a little
nine
foggy.
9 inches of Lexan. All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own, do you rent? Which is it? Well, it's got to be one or the other. How about you let Geico do the easy work for you, bundling it? Why should you have to do that? Save some money. Go to Geico. Makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy at Geico. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could be saving at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle at geico.com. Let's see. So when are all these electric vehicles going to be, trucks going to be ready to go?
Well, they start rolling out in the next year or two. But, you know, some of these, I'm always on the fence with the startup companies because I keep saying this. It's like, all right, they're all in, they're developing the technology and they're testing a vehicle. It's like, but who are they partnering with? Because now you need a dealer network and service and maintenance and warranties. And it's like, that's the complex part.
Well,
it's really
don't
expensive.
You,
so,
here,
unless you're Hummer or Ford.
Well, yeah, here,
so I'm seeing Rivian is supposed to deliver pickups and SUVs by the end of this year. Ford has an all-electric F-150 on the way. The electric Hummer is going to be end of 2021 along with the Cybertruck.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I imagine is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but it makes sense to me. Big businesses sit around like Anheuser-Busch. They sit around and they just make, you know, Michelob and stuff. And then at some point, some upstart brewing company starts making a really cool IPA, you know. And the big companies are aware of these companies. And so mm-hmm. what they do is they go, we're going to buy this company, but we're not going to put Anheuser-Busch's name on it. We're going to make people still think it's Stone Brewery or whatever it is. But we're going to be able to take our might and put it behind this distribution and blah, blah, blah. And we don't have to deal with the competition anymore. We're going to buy, you know, Ford's going to buy Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
that thing, right?
Yeah, that's why Rivian is the one that I'm looking at the most because of their funding, their partnerships with Ford, their backing from Amazon, not just from a cash investment, but also the huge order of 100,000 trucks. And I like the idea that now they have a future revenue already in place. So I think they're the most interesting to me so far.
All right, I'm going to be at Hilarity's coming up February 27th. doing stand-up in Cleveland, and then I'm going to Indianapolis, ooh, home of the 500.
Yeah.
That'll be Helium, February 28th and 29th. And our Peterson Automotive Museum big event, CarCast Live, and we're also going to do a car show out there. It was such a hit last year, March 21st. So where should people go for that?
So go to peterson.org/CarCast. We're going to do a screening of Shelby American, but I'm hoping we can dig up some unseen footage to
there
make
is,
it a little special. Maybe
there is going to be some extra footage in there that nobody's seen. Stuff that he races that he did that when he was driving, obviously, back that nobody has.
Well, tickets are available now. It includes access to the museum and the James Hetfield collection that's up there. It's going to be cool.
And you can get Uppity at Chassis. You can get everything at Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. And if you like those movies on Netflix or whatever, leave a nice rating. Go to Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb and just tell them you liked it. It all just helps. You can pre-order my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, which is available now for pre-order at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. Bookmark us and click through. What do you got, Motorator?
Yeah, follow me at Motorator. Constantly posting photos and chatting with everybody. So, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.